Hey, hello, Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. as we are every weeknight into the weekday morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up after midnight, Caroline Corey is going to join me. She's an award-winning filmmaker and a futurist and an author. Her latest movie is called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. And she studies consciousness and energy medicine, and she's had several extrasensory power experiences and helps people to control those things. And she's written books, and she's made movies about it. And her latest, again, is Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. And we'll talk about the extrasensory world right here. Also, well, we've got some classic Johnny Carson show you can watch on Antenna TV every night. And we always play back some comedy, and whether it be some stand-up or a sketch or an interview. Gary Shandling from 1983, one of the funniest men that has ever walked the planet. We'll be doing some stand-up vintage Gary Shandling from 1983. It will soon be a Wednesday morning, and every Wednesday morning at 3:30, we play a round of Know Your Onion. And that's where we get a couple of callers to call in. They each take a round, and Tom will throw some news headlines at them, and they have to figure out whether or not they are real or from the satirical newspaper The Onion. Because the news is weird, man, and sometimes it's hard to figure out whether it's real or from The Onion. And that's coming up. We're going to talk about robots that have come from White Castle, stupid legal defenses from the past, some inventions that were ahead of their time, and more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. You're always welcome to call. Please do. 312-981-7200. And there you go. I would like to welcome to the show right now my first guest, Kevin Perjurer. Runs a YouTube channel called Defunct Land, and it's a YouTube series that discusses the history of extinct theme parks and theme entertainment experiences. There's a podcast, there's a VR project, and spinoffs as well. This is really cool stuff. I love talking about old theme parks and things like that. And so let's say hello to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I love this idea. I really do. How did it come to you?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in theme parks, you know, specifically the Disney parks and the Universal parks that are in Orlando as well as in California. I grew up in Kansas City, so I didn't get to go to those very often. So I kind of learned to live vicariously through guidebooks and eventually the internet and forums, and kind of gathered research over many years just out of my own curiosity. And every once in a while I would get to go, and I would notice that I missed the opportunity to ride rides, or things were gone by the time I got there.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started to get interested in defunct parks and defunct rides, and just started researching. And I've always had a background in documentary filmmaking, and so I just kind of combined the two and put it on YouTube. And
that's cool.
That's how it started.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome too to go back. I love looking at the you know, old videos or old pictures of theme parks that aren't around anymore. And we had a legendary theme park here in the city of Chicago. Kevin, I don't know if you, in your research, you've ever looked at Riverview.
I have not, but that's been suggested many, many times.
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, I can't tell you the stories that I've heard about it. I was too young to have ever gone there. It closed down. I think it closed down a couple of years after I was born. But my parents and so many other people tell so many legendary stories about how great Riverview was. And if you look it up, Kevin, online, so many wonderful visuals and stuff like that. I think you'd have a great time looking at Riverview.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Chicago has a very rich theme park history, amusement park history, I should say,
yeah.
Which is kind of unsurprising. On this most recent season of Defunct Land, it's the season all tells one long story of kind of the history of Walt Disney and the future and Epcot and kind of all those kind of Tomorrowland type parks. But it starts with the World's Fairs and, of course, the 1893 Columbian Exposition, as well as the 1933 Century of Progress, both in Chicago.
Yeah,
I did episodes on that, so not necessarily amusement parks, but definitely some, you know, that's where the first Ferris wheel was. Yeah. A lot of great history right there.
There's no question about it. How long has Defunct Land been around, Kevin?
Since February of 2017.
Oh, wow, okay. That's great.
So not super long, but we've been around for a few years.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. So, and people can access this just up on the YouTube channel, like youtube.com/defunctland.
Yep, right there. You got it. That's they can go there and everywhere. You can go to defunctland.com as well. But yeah, that'll take you where you need to be. And most of the stuff is on the YouTube channel. We do long history videos on theme parks, theme park rides, entire parks that are defunct. We also do old TV shows. We just did a few episodes on old Disney Channel, and we also do some old Nickelodeon. So we try to get something for everybody, because we know a lot of this stuff is for people when they were younger. And so we try to, you know, do something from the 80s and then something from the 70s and, you know, jump back and forth. So there's probably something on there that you recognize, even if you can only remember it in like fever dream state.
You know, the state that we're in right now with the pandemic and people kind of feeling anxiety, nostalgia is a great thing. You know what I mean? It makes us feel it makes us feel comfortable, and this is the kind of thing that I think people would really embrace and really like, especially at this time. You know?
Yeah, I especially with the theme park. I mean, theme parks are opening back up.
Yeah,
many people are not going to be going. Obviously. Yeah. And so, you know, you get to live vicariously, which is one of the reasons, as I mentioned earlier, that I started the channel. Is not only is it, you know, things I remembered, but just being able to kind of visit these spaces, because theme parks are such a fascinating medium of art.
Oh, yeah.
These are some of the best artists that have ever lived.
Yeah.
You never heard of them because, you know, we all go to the movie theater and we know Spielberg is, and we know filmmakers and even some artists and, of course, musicians. But, like, these Imagineers or these theme park designers, they're just as cool. They have great stories.
Yeah.
And we just don't always get a focus on them because it's so centralized in Orlando and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about this. Kevin Perjurer is with us. Defunct Land is the website. Kevin, hang on. YouTube.com/defunctland or defunctland.com. And if you remember some old theme parks and you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Not necessarily in this area, but all over the place. 312-981-7200. Hello, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here until 4 o'clock. Kevin Perjurer is my guest right now. He runs a website called defunctland.com and a YouTube channel, youtube.com/defunctland, and it is a YouTube series about the history of extinct theme parks and themed entertainment experiences. There's a podcast, there's a VR project, and there's spinoffs as well. Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
You said that you were from Kansas City. What was your theme park? What was the big theme park in Kansas City?
That would have been Worlds of Fun, and that's the one there in Kansas City that I remember, and I remember growing up to. It was not nearly as well themed as, say, Disney World, but it was there, so I went a lot.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite things there?
Oh, well, the thing that I actually got to do an episode on, because it's no longer there, is the Orient Express, which was a roller coaster that had interlocking loops. So it was like two loop-de-loops, but they were connected. So very cool. And they tore it down and built something else almost 20 years ago.
Mm.
But yeah, so that was the one that I miss the most, I should say.
Yeah, Worlds of Fun. What's there now? Is it still there? Do they still have a theme park there?
Yeah, so it's still Worlds of Fun. It's that specific ride was replaced by a smaller ride which happens a lot. Obviously, that's with theme parks. There's only so much space. But yeah, you know, I went to World of Fun just the other year. I mean, still a great time. Wish my favorite coaster was still there, but that's what I have the YouTube channel for.
Yeah. There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for the, and it's the Team Hochberg phone line. So, Worlds of Fun. I love some of the names of, do you have favorite names of theme parks?
Oh man, there's so many. Well, the funny thing is with theme parks, the whole naming history is interesting. When it started out, there was only three names for theme parks. It was either Kiddyland, Luna Park, or Electric Park. Sometimes it was Coney Island. I believe Chicago had a Coney Island, a Luna Park, and a Kiddyland.
We had two Kiddylands.
Oh, okay. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We had two yeah. Kiddylands, yeah.
Because that was just synonymous with theme park, you know, or amusement park, I should say. Who would think to name it beyond that? That's ridiculous. And then, of course, Disneyland, and then everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
But, man, I think there's some odd ones. I mean, of course, Epcot is, we're all used to it, but Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, that's an odd one.
Oh, I forgot that's what it stood for. I totally forgot that's what it stood for. What is it again?
It's Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, because it came from Walt Disney's original idea for a city in Florida, and then they turned it into a theme park after he died, and they decided that they probably shouldn't run a city. So stuff like that. Disney's California Adventure, a theme park themed to California.
Yeah.
That's just in California. Stuff like that. There's a lot of interesting ones. I just did an episode on Freedom Land, which was a Disneyland-style park all about U.S. history. It was in the Bronx for five years. Lots of interesting
Freedom
parks.
Land, Freedom Land in the Bronx.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of Walt... I mean, the story is fascinating. Just quickly, it's one of Walt Disney's designers made Disneyland, and they had a falling out, and he went off to make his own theme parks, and there was a huge amount of swampland in the Bronx that they just used and built an 80-acre park, much bigger than Disney, or I think it was maybe 25% bigger than Disneyland.
Jeez.
And it was a huge. And then now it's where Co-op City is, which is this giant housing complex. But for 5 years, it was a theme park based on U.S. history. Freedom Land, USA.
How did Walt Disney react to that?
Not well.
No, really.
He didn't like that. There's no documentation on his thoughts on Freedom Land, but the guy himself actually went on to start calling himself the master builder of Disneyland, and that's how he got all these other theme parks around the country built. Oh. And then, you know, Walt stepped in and sued him and said, "You can't say that because I'm Disneyland. I built Disneyland."
Yeah.
And then that guy went on to build a park called Six Flags Over Texas in Arlington, and that's what started Six Flags.
Is that right? That's how Six Flags... Wow.
Yeah. So he was the main designer for the first Six Flags park that was built by a tycoon in Texas that wanted it built, but he brought him on as a designer. And that's what's so fun about this history is everybody overlaps. It's a very small industry.
Every
industry says we're a very small industry, but this industry is very small. So it's lots of overlap, lots of like, oh, you know, this guy did this and this and this. And so it's a lot of fun to kind of track and see how people jump from park to park.
That's pretty cool. How many Six Flags are there in America?
Oh my gosh, I couldn't tell you. There's there's only been three Six Flags parks that were built to be Six Flags parks, and that is Six Flags Over Texas, Six Flags Over St. Louis, which it's still Six Flags Over St. Louis, and then Six Flags Over Georgia,
right?
Or Six Flags Atlanta.
Yeah.
Those three were built to be Six Flags parks. All the other ones were just parks that some person built, and then they were bought by the Six Flags company.
Yeah,
the
one in Gurnee, just outside of Chicago here, used to be, when it opened up, when that theme park opened up, it was called Marriott's Great America.
Right, yes.
And then it became Six Flags Great America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they did it. And through the 80s and 90s, they started accumulating a large amount of parks. So they weren't just buying amusement parks, they were buying water parks and they were buying malls, like little malls, theme park malls and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so eventually they had this big, like, you know, bankruptcy scare, and they had to sell a bunch of them off, and a bunch of them closed. But for a while there, I don't know what number they got up to. It was a lot.
Yeah,
they
I
owned
bet.
A lot of
yeah.
theme parks.
Yeah. Here's Patrick on WGN. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. I didn't know if you knew this, but I just looked up on YouTube. They got over a dozen videos of the Riverview, old videos. One of them in particular, it says Riverview remembered by WGN, about 3 to 4 minutes long.
Is it WGN radio?
Yeah. Well, no, wait. You know what?
I'm, TV.
WGN News.
No, it's WGN. Okay, yeah, it's probably TV. But that's cool. That's our sister station right there. Those are our buddies.
That the one I remember when I was a kid growing up was Santa's Village.
Santa's Village, yeah, Santa's Village, yeah.
And I had a particular experience with my brother on a salt and pepper machine. What do you call it? Salt and pepper machine. And it's like an oval cage. You get inside of it. The guy closes it up on you, and it's like a Ferris wheel. You go around, and then the cage itself spins around.
Yep, I vividly remember that ride, Patrick.
Except for mine at the time, and I wasn't supposed to do it. I don't know if the guy didn't close the gate or if it was doors hard enough or whatever. But it seemed like what it did is it jammed. So when we got up to the top, we were upside down. The thing didn't spin, so. Every time we got to the top, we were stuck upside down.
Oh, God.
And forget about trying, you know, screaming their head off. The guy probably just thinks, you know, you're getting...
You're having fun. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was yelling,
get me off. All right, Patrick, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yep, you got it.
Take care. You ever in your research, have you talked to people who got stuck on rides or have stories in that kind of vein?
Oh, yeah, too many to count.
Yeah, I bet, man.
Yeah, especially with those older rides. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned Santa's Village. I did an episode on all the Santa parks.
Oh, that you was did? Another, okay.
Yeah, so I tried to track, and I'm sure I missed a few, but there are dozens of Santa parks, and you would never think it, but it's just Santa-themed theme parks. But yeah, early in the days of that engineering, it wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm a roller coaster engineer. It was, you know, I'm a guy that tinkers in his garage and now I own an amusement park. So let's see what happens. And not even an engineering degree, just going in blind. And then they, you know, and then they make something amazing and then somebody else makes it safe. Eventually.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. I've never been stuck on a ride or had like an issue with a ride, but I'd be terrified, especially on a giant. Well, now I'm, for some reason, Kevin, as I've gotten older, I'm afraid of heights, but I used to be a roller coaster junkie when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've gotten older, I don't know, I couldn't do it, but I can't imagine, you know, people being stuck right at the top of the first hill of a roller coaster and have to walk down, you know, have to have the people come out and then walk down. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I've never had to do that. I never want to do that. I've been evac'd from dark rides, so just like Splash Mountain or any of those kind of rides, where it's just all you have to do is you step up and you have to walk around the show scenes, but never something where I'm like 200 feet in the air and I have to walk down. I would never do that. I'd say just start the ride. I'll take my chance.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Okay, Kevin, hang on, my man. Kevin Perjurer is with us. Defunctland.com is the website. It's a YouTube series about the history of extinct theme parks and themed entertainment experiences. 312-981-7200 if you want to remember some of the theme parks that you've gone to, not just necessarily in the Chicago area, but all over the place. And we'll talk more with Kevin about Defunctland here on 720 WGN. Right, Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio. Coming up after midnight, Caroline Corey is going to join me. She's an award-winning filmmaker, a futurist, and an author, and her new movie is called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. And she's had numerous ESP experiences, and she's written about it and making movies on the topics as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Kevin Perjurer is with us. Defunctland.com is the website, and it's a YouTube series that discusses the history of extinct theme parks and themed entertainment experiences. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. So the videos are, like, unbelievably researched. How long does it take to do one of the episodes, and what goes into it, and how do they become?
Oh, man. It takes a bit of time. I would say that some of the episodes that I release take about a year.
Wow.
From the point where I say I'm going to do an episode on this to the point that I'm done. You know, the Freedom Land, for example, one of my most recent episodes, I had to read 4 or 5 books on that park.
Wow.
Or on things related to that park. And
right.
So a lot of it is digging through newspaper archives. A lot of it is looking at old interviews, trying to read as many books as possible to try to get the full story of the park, because what's available just from a Google search is typically someone recalling it, and that's not really what you want when you're trying to research something. So this is being done simultaneously, which works really well. So, you know, I'll be working on, you know, 5 or 10 episodes at a certain time or in different levels of research, and because all of this is so connected, I'll be like, oh, I'm researching this park, and then, oh, well, I just found something that'll work for this. And then, you know, it just kind of builds and builds to the point where I can trust myself to know enough of the just general history to kind of place the stories, and then from there do the specific research. So yeah, you know, from the conception to the realization, sometimes it could take up to a year, but other times I'll just try to knock one out in a month or two.
Yeah. Wow, but that's still a lot of time, man. You're really dedicated to this. There's no question about it, man.
Yeah, I love the topics, and you know, I love pop culture history, and this is just one that I don't think has been explored enough, and I'm happy to be one of the people exploring it.
There you go. Defunctland.com. We've got some people calling in. Here's Donna on WGN. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Nick. I remember getting into the park, Riverview, by saving up my Hostess bread wrappers. If I saved up 10,
what?
I got free admission and free tickets for 10 rides.
That way, so it was just Hostess bread wrappers that for like a loaf of bread.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You save up 10 of those, and you can get into Riverview for free.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Wow, that's a great memory.
Yeah, then you got a chance to go on into the Aladdin's castle, or they never did the mouse, but the Greyhound, the Bobs, the Comet, which were the roller coasters.
Yeah.
And they never did the Fireball. That was the one that somebody lost their head over when they stood up.
Oh, God.
Riverview always had a hint of danger.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
A little bit dirty.
Yep.
And there was always a little bit of something that you didn't catch out of the side of your eye.
Right.
Walt Disney was always very squeaky clean.
Right, right.
But not Riverview. It was the heart of the city, and it sort of exemplified what living in Chicago was about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that every time you go down Western Avenue and you look over there, like where DeVry is and everything, and you're like, that used to be an amusement park, and
the first thing that you'd see was the parachute ride.
Yeah, that my mom rode that while pregnant with me.
Mm.
It might explain something. All right, Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, my mom rode the big parachute ride at Riverview when she was pregnant with me.
I love those parachute rides. That's amazing. Those,
yeah.
The parachute drops.
Yeah.
Another thing that's just one of those. Who made that?
Exactly. Do you have a favorite theme park that you covered, Kevin?
Oh, man. Favorite theme park. That's a hard question.
Well, I mean, obviously, Worlds of Fun means a lot to you because that's where you...
Right, Worlds of Fun. But I don't know if that one was my favorite to find out about. You know, I usually just say, well, the most recent episode that I did is my favorite. But I think there's been so many throughout the country. I think the one people like for my channel the most, one of the most viewed one, is Action Park.
Oh, sure.
Which was in Vernon, New Jersey, which would be
which is now very well covered. I think there's a book, there's going to be a TV show, there's a documentary, there's everything on this park. But yeah, it was a water park.
And
it was not safe.
Yeah, no. And I mean, and then they made like a fictional movie about it with Johnny Knoxville.
Right. Yeah. Johnny Knoxville made Action Point.
Action Point,
which is very subtle. So.
All right. Let's see. Here's Annette on WGN. Hi, Annette.
Hi. How are you, Nick?
All right. What's up?
The one I remember the most, well, besides Kaylan, because I grew up in Melrose Park, but was Adventureland, which was out in Addison.
Oh, yeah, Adventureland.
Yeah. And I had a funny thing happen when I was about 5-6 years old. My mom told my oldest sister, go get in line for the storybook train. Well, she got in line for, they had a scary train where when they went in a tunnel, they closed both doors and a bunch of creatures came out towards the train. So as a 5-6-year-old, I got scared.
Oh, I bet.
So, but then we always remember that because they had there was a huge statue of an Indian, and I think the other statue was a cowboy out in front of Adventureland. Yeah.
Adventureland. I totally remember Adventureland. Annette, thank you so much for the memories, okay?
Okay, have a good night.
By the way, Adventureland, great movie. I love that movie with, why am I blanking on his name? Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. I love that movie. Here's James on WGN. Hi, James.
Hi. Okay, Knoxberry Farm in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, Knoxberry Farm.
Yeah.
Best chicken. Okay, remember that even before the rides.
Yeah, Knoxberry Farm. I'm sure you've covered that one, right, Kevin?
Well, I talk about it a lot just because of, it's a great park, and there's so many. I still go today. I love it.
Yeah. It's a pretty legendary place, Knoxberry Farm. All right, James, thanks for the call. Here's Big Ed. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right, for you and your guests, there's a park, a defunct park outside of Pittsburgh. It was called Westview. And one thing they had, like a ski lift type of thing, where you could get on cars and it would take you all the way across the park. But I think it's on YouTube. You can find the Rolling Stones played there.
Okay. All right, Big Ed, thanks for the call, buddy. All right. Rolling Stones played there. Westview. Yeah. So why do people love theme parks so much? Have you ever just thought about that? What people are really connected to it? I know it's a nostalgic thing as well, right?
Oh yeah, I mean it's a lot of things of why. I mean, partly it's because a lot of people visit them as kids, and a lot of them are made for kids in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it's also this thing of, it's just a new type of entertainment. It's getting better and better. It's getting more immersive. It's getting cooler. It's getting more adult. And that track has been happening since the 80s. So, you know, if you look at theme park history, the biggest kind of mental shift in how people thought about theme parks from this very, Walt Disney nostalgic thing was when Star Tours came out, which is the Star Wars ride at Disneyland. And then after that, you have Universal Studios, which is, of course, a little bit more adult as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it appeals to a lot of things. It's escapism. It's fun. It can be inspiring with certain parks that want to try to tell you something or teach you a lesson. And it's just, you're just immersed.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something like that is becoming even more crucial. And there are plenty of cell phones at these parks, but but at least you're surrounded versus some of the other things. You know, we watch everything so passively now. I think people really like to be immersed nowadays.
Yeah. And it's also a lot of fun because, you know, so many people have favorite movies. And now these, you know, some of your favorite movies, you can ride. There are theme rides now that you can go to. What are some of the best movie themed rides?
Oh man, it's funny because some of the best movie themed rides are movies that I would not say are the best movies.
Okay.
like Waterworld. If you remember that Waterworld movie.
Oh, I do. I got to tell you something, Kevin. I love that movie actually.
Well, a lot of people love it, but it didn't do well.
No, it did. It bombed. No, it was a major bomb. They lost a ton of money.
It has a really fun water show at Universal Studios. It's this really fun stunt show. But as far as like movies that are like, wow, like that's, you know, some Avatar, Disney has a new Avatar section. They opened a few years ago, and there's a ride there where you get the ride on the back of a Banshee. And it's just very groundbreaking. You feel like you're in the movie. And of course the new Star Wars stuff and the new Harry Potter stuff. There's this new trend of, it's not just a ride based on a movie or a show based on a movie. It's, we're going to make a whole land based on a movie.
Yeah.
And you're going to get to see Hogwarts Castle. You're going to get to see the Millennium Falcon, like, right there in front of you. We're going to build the whole thing. So,
yeah.
It's a very fascinating period.
I've not been there, but I've seen video and I've seen pictures of the Hogwarts thing, and it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
It is, yeah. The one in Orlando is incredible because, I mean, just even down to, you get to see Hogwarts Castle, you get to turn around, you get to see Hogsmeade, you get to get on the train that takes you to the other park, to Diagon Alley. If you're a Harry Potter fan, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. It's just, it's so much, and it's because it's a moneymaker for them, and so they just keep adding on to it, and eventually they're just going to have, eventually all of Orlando will just be actual Harry Potter if it keeps going in this direction.
Do they sell butterbeer there?
Yes, and it's so good. My gosh. You could look up some recipes online, but you're never going to get it perfect.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite theme park foods, and that's a whole nother realm.
Oh, what? Well, we'll talk about that. Hold on, Kevin, okay?
Sure.
All right. Kevin Perger is with us. Defunctland.com, YouTube.com/defunctland. It's a YouTube series with the history of extinct theme parks and more. And if you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN. Hello, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're going to talk about inventions that were ahead of its time, stupid legal defenses. The robots have come for White Castle. And Caroline Corey is going to join me. She's a filmmaker, a futurist, and an author whose new movie is Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible, and she's had many ESP experiences, and we'll talk about that. Kevin Perger is with us right now, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. So Kevin Perger is with us. He has a website called Defunctland, defunctland.com, and it's dedicated to a history of extinct theme parks and themed entertainment experiences. Kevin, before the break, I mentioned butterbeer and how much you love it. What are some of the classic theme park foods?
Well, classics are going to be, if you're talking Disney, you're going to think Dole Whip. Which is the pineapple ice cream, churros, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
All that, you know, popcorn to a certain extent there. Universal has butterbeer, but they also sell a lot of the Homer Simpson donuts in their Simpsons Land.
Strawberry
donuts.
Oh.
They're pretty good.
You know, you have a donut named after Homer Simpson, it's got to be good.
Well, it looks just like, you know, the Simpsons donut, and
yeah.
It tastes like you would imagine the cartoon does, which is delicious, you know. So there's a lot of those kind of foods, and after you walk around the park a few times, you feel like you've earned it. So
yeah, exactly. You're getting your steps. You're getting your steps.
Right,
in.
Exactly. Yeah, I earned a giant donut today.
We used to have an amusement park here right outside of Chicago in Bolingbrook that was indoor. It was called Old Chicago. Are you familiar with Old Chicago?
Oh gosh, I've heard of it. I haven't done any research on it though.
Oh, it was such a weird place, Kevin. It was such weird. It was so weird. I went there a million times. So there was an amusement park, and it had the first loop-de-loop upside-down roller coaster. And but the amusement park was in the middle, and it was surrounded by a mall. So the idea was the kids would go to the amusement park, and the parents could shop. Unfortunately, they didn't have any anchor stores, and every store in that place sucked. It was terrible. And so it didn't do very well, and it ended up closing down. But in the 70s, it was a place to go. And if you ever see a movie called The Fury, Kevin, which is it's a Brian De Palma movie from 78, and it's about people with psychic powers. There's a fantastic scene that was filmed in old Chicago. So if you want to get a glimpse of it, check out the movie The Fury. There's a fantastic scene that takes place in there.
You mentioned old Chicago, and that got my mind going because I was thinking, like, why does that sound so familiar? Freedomland, which I was talking about earlier, which was the theme park in the Bronx,
yeah,
based on U.S. history, had I should have mentioned, it's also in the shape of the United States, which was something very special.
Oh.
If you look at an aerial of it, it looks like the continental U.S.
Oh,
it's
is that
ridiculous.
Right? That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Crazy.
But one of the sections, one of the lands, instead of Frontierland or Adventureland, it was Old Chicago. And the main attraction of Old Chicago was the Great Chicago Fire, which was a giant building that they lit on fire, and they had every 20 minutes they'd bring out the fire engine, and it was a big hand pump one, and all the kids would come pump out the fire, and you had Miss O'Leary from the old the cow. They had her, although I should say him because it was always played by a man, walking around the park so you could take pictures with Miss O'Leary, and every 20 minutes experience the horror that was the Great Chicago Fire.
That is unbelievable.
This was in 1960, so it hadn't even been 100 years yet. There were people that remembered, probably, the fire.
That's insane. That's absolutely crazy. That is hilarious. Let's see. Here's Teresa on WGN. Hi, Teresa.
How you doing?
All right. What's up?
No, I was just saying, we used to go to Old Chicago because it was like the first indoor amusement park, have to worry if it was rain or shine.
Right.
You
can go in January.
Right.
Yeah.
But it sucked. The stores, there was like you'd hit a point in the place, you're going down, and then there was no more stores.
Yeah.
And it was like the dead end of the mall.
Exactly.
You're like, where's the stores? They're gone.
You know what, Teresa, here's what I remember. I remember there being at least two or three iron-on decal T-shirt shops.
Right.
That's the thing I remember the most.
Definitely. And then the roller coaster was like up in that dome.
Yep. They had a dome. Kevin, the building itself was like, it looked like a really ugly building, but it had a dome in the middle.
Dome.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where the roller coaster would go up inside there.
Right.
That's where the loop,
exactly.
Right, and you could see it,
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
That ridiculous.
Then. It only lasted from 1975 to 1980, and that was it. 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. But I went there a million times, and it's so, and Teresa, yep, as you know, it was so 70s. Oh yeah.
Oh, so like you said, the blacks, the black t-shirt shops,
that's
the 70s.
It. That's it. Okay.
Gotta go get your iron on.
Exactly.
Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Teresa, take care. Yeah, people of a certain age, Kevin, remember old Chicago. I got to tell you.
The indoor theme parks are a weird subgenre.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of those. What are some of the other ones?
Six Flags Power Plant was a theme park concept that was in Baltimore, and it's now a Barnes & Noble, which is
kind of
weird.
Wait a minute, it's a Barnes & Noble in this day and age? I thought Barnes & Nobles were all closed.
Right, exactly. You thought the theme park would last longer than Barnes & Noble, but no. Barnes & Noble replaced the theme park. And then there was the world of Sid and Marty Krofft, the famous puppeteers.
Whoa, where was that?
That was in Atlanta, it didn't work. These are all, I should say, these are not your average, because I'm assuming what Old Chicago is, based on what you were saying, is it's a kind of a few kiddie rides and then maybe a signature coaster.
Yeah, they had a big loop. It was called the Chicago Loop, the big roller coaster in there. They had the rotor and basically, and they had a haunted house,
right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, those parks are common, but the Power Plant as well as Sid and Marty Krofft, they were trying to we're not going to do thrill rides, we're just going to do dark rides and weird experimental stuff. But the Sid and Marty Krofft one did not last long. It actually, that same building got transformed into the CNN headquarters.
What?
Yeah, and you can still see it. If you side by side, you could be like, hey, that escalator is weird, and then you'll be like, oh, that's why. Because it was it used to be a special escalator that took you to the top and all that stuff. So
that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Sid and Marty Krofft is, you know, that's my generation of children's shows. And that, and everything that they did, that Sid and Marty Krofft did, was insane and weird.
Right. Well, what were some of it? Was it... Were they H.R. Puff and stuff?
They were H.R. Puff and stuff. They were Lidsville, yeah. Sigmund and the Sea Monster. Everything was just like, you know, it's like they, clearly they were blowing weed. There's no, when they came up with ideas, there's just no question about it. And that's the stuff I grew up on. I would have loved to have gone to that theme park, man.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I would have as well. That's one of those that would have been, because with indoor theme parks especially, the photography is so bad. There's a lot
I
of
bet.
It dark.
Yeah, I bet.
So there's nothing. So I've even talked to people that design these rides, because I do a podcast where I interview the people that design and create these attractions.
Yeah, yeah.
And even, and then I asked them, like, do you have any photos? And they're like, no, it was super dark. And I was like, great. we didn't have phones. And I was
right.
like, well... I know, but, like, did you take any? Did you turn on the lights for, like, 5 seconds and get a photo from it? No, too dark.
Too dark. You know, did you talk about the Mall of America at all?
Oh, man, I've always wanted to. I think the Mall of America, which now holds, I think, Nickelodeon Universe.
Oh, okay. That's what it's called now?
It used to hold Camp Snoopy, I think.
Yeah, no, it was Camp Snoopy, because I went there a long time ago. I went there in, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And that was like it, that place. I'm not good with malls, Kevin. I get kind of freaked out in them. And that place gave me I got the vapors, man. It was just not good. I was freaking out. But yeah, right in the middle of the mall, there was like an amusement park and a Snoopy roller coaster.
Yeah, Snoopy is big into theme parks. He's currently the mascot of Cedar Fair, which runs probably 10 or 12 amusement parks, and he's like the Mickey Mouse of them. So yeah, Snoopy is, even though he is no longer a Mall of America, he has gone on to live a prosperous career as
yeah.
both the MetLife mascot as well as the mascot for many theme parks.
Exactly. You mentioned Snoopy being the mascot of so many places. What are some of the more popular mascots besides Snoopy?
Popular. I mean, of course, you got. So it's actually funny. I think Woody Woodpecker was the mascot of Universal Studios. That didn't last. Or if it still, he might still be the official one.
I remember. I remember him on the commercials.
Yeah, yeah, they're waving.
Yep.
You also have a. I went. My home park was Sam Panda. And he was just a panda, and his name was Sam, and that was the extent to his backstory. He had no cartoon. He's just, his name was Sam Panda, and we all were like, yes. And he's kind of, he remains in my mind as a nemesis, because it just didn't gel with me for some reason. I was like, this is a park about, this is the roller coasters, but how does a panda, but whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, the mascots are very, of course, every theme park tries to have one. The one in Freedomland, because we've talked about that one so much, was Johnny Freedom. Was his name, and he was a blonde-haired like mascot for America. He was like, he was everything. He was independence and freedom and liberty. It's like you could make a person out of what Americans think America is.
Johnny
he
Freedom.
Would have been Johnny Freedom.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's absolutely hilarious. Oh God, some of this stuff is so much fun. You continue to do this, right? You're working on more, right?
Oh yeah, we got a lot more coming. Just doing random, well, not random, but we're doing parks all throughout the United States and the world. You know, we've done parks in Europe and Asia and all sorts of places. So yeah, we're still making stuff. We're making more stuff. I feel a need to make something on Riverview now, because it feels like a lot of people
in the
Chicago area remember it.
No, it's a pretty legendary. It's a pretty legendary place, Kevin. And you know, for definitely for a certain generation, there's no question about it. And it's got an incredible reputation. And you know, and its location is just so unique where it was. It's right in the middle of the city. You know, most of these are on the outskirts. This was right in the middle of the city, you know, off of Western Avenue. right there. And it's the site of a college now, and a couple of grocery stores and a strip mall. That's what's there now. So.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'll have to look into that one. Maybe I'll do an episode on that.
Cool. All right. Hey, Kevin, man, been a real lot of fun talking to you, man. Check out defunctland.com, youtube.com/defunctland. Kevin, it was great talking to you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, man. Kevin Perjurer is his name. All right, and we're going to break for the news.